SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Has taken over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast. All right, hour two with Carver High legend. As we roll on a Misery Monday, C to C. And the preseason AP Top 25 is out. As we continue the ridiculous nature of giving rankings every week that don't matter until they finally do playoff rankings at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's that time of year again. You know it's almost time for kickoff when we get the preseason Associated Press Top 25 hot off the presses this afternoon, Scotty. And it is the two-time defending champion Georgia Bulldogs at the top. Michigan, number two. Ohio State, Alabama, LSU is the top five. USC, Penn State, Florida State, Clemson, and Washington in the top 10. I see the Irish at 13. TCU is 17. You got Texas A&M at 23. Tulane, just like the Coaches Bowl last week. Slid in there at 24 after their season last year.
Let's just do this real quick. Leave that up so I can see it right there. I can see it at the very least. Ohio State, here we go again, ranked number three in the country, and no one knows who their quarterback is, right? Like, there right. You go. Congratulations. Alabama, no one knows who their quarterback's going to be, but they're still ranked fourth, obviously going to win every single game they play like always. According to the people that know, I would put LSU in front of both of them. We know what we're getting with Brian Kelly's team. USC with Caleb Williams is a badass. Penn State is ranked for some reason because they love to rank Penn State every year. They're like North Carolina and Duke and Indiana usually get ranked in college basketball every year since before Christ. Florida State is ranked. And all they do is complain that they don't want to be in the ACC. Do you think they'll beat LSU again? We'll see. Clemson should be ranked. Washington should be ranked. Texas should be ranked because they got two great quarterbacks. I'll give you that. Tennessee is being ranked that high based off of what they did last year. But half of the team is gone. I could go on and on if you want. I'm not going to sit here either. I already went down this road with you, with Tulane and everything else. They have one great season in 50 years. Now, all of a sudden, I'm supposed to lay down for them every year in the preseason top 25 poll. Please. I mean, this poll is ridiculous, is what it is. It's ridiculous. It's like you have no clue what's going to happen at all. But I agree with Steve Spurrier. I really do. With that candy-ass schedule that Georgia plays, and Alabama, for that matter, got to slip in that good game every year with the Citadel. I mean, honestly, they don't what did he say? They don't play any Power Fives.
Georgia is
Tech.
Opening.
Are you kidding me?
Georgia opens the season. Big matchup with UT Martin comes between the hedges to kick things off. And then Ball State rolls in the week after that. So nice 2-0 start for them. They also play UAB, Trent Dilfer's new team, in the month of September at home. And Georgia Tech's the other out-of-conference, which is their yearly end-of-the-season rivalry in-state. But the other part of it that makes their schedule easier than others is, you know, they're in the East, which isn't as good as the West, and that's going away next year. There's not going to be an East and the West in the SEC anymore. But they don't get Alabama. They don't get LSU. Or Texas A&M. They don't get all the heavies in the crossover game, Scotty. That makes it tough. Welcome in all of our radio affiliates. All of them here. There you go.
That's great. Thank you. Welcome. Here's the deal. We're so friendly here. Anyway, when it comes to this schedule, is that not amazing to you that you play that saltwater taffy schedule and that you get put in that playoff as fast as you can spit? Like, they don't play anybody, and then they get a go undefeated and play for a national championship every year. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm sick and tired of Georgia and Alabama every year. It's like a gift shop. I got to tell you, listen, I'd rather watch that Big 12 devour each other. I'd rather watch, like I always have my whole life, the Pac-12 devour each other and watch great college football games every Saturday all the way till 1, 2 in the morning, then do have this candy-ass schedule that they roll out for these powers that don't play anybody. Now, listen, I understand the SEC games that they play, however many that is. What is that, like six?
Right.
Okay.
Eight games. Eight.
Okay. But, oh, it's just so brutal. I got to tell you, I mean, the games with Vandy, it's got to be a real concern for them. Those tough games they play. Look, it's simple. They want to avoid Alabama at all costs unless they play them in the title game. Is that not about right? Both of them want the same thing. We don't want to play them unless we play them for the championship, which is always a great game. So they might as well just play that game next week because the rest of the season's a joke.
I need these teams to play at least one. I need them to play at least one really good out-of-conference game. I understand they probably not going to give me all three or four of their non-conference. Give me one game against somebody at your level. Please, everybody should have at least one game against somebody.
Gonzaga, now I love the way they'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. Let's go. Five or six huge games a year. Not afraid of anyone. Unlike these candy asses.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Well, everyone at SportsGrid certainly knows Rich Cerminello from his days on the grid, talking college football, and now the VP of awards for the Maxwell Football Club, the prestigious awards, many of them we've talked about on the show in previous weeks as they continue to get ready for the college football season. Rich, it's good to see you, and congrats on the gig. That's fantastic. Can you tell me some of the exciting things you're doing at the Maxwell Club with some of the awards? I know you're getting involved with Sean Alexander. There's a lot of cool things that you guys are up to.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. We're having a lot of fun. I mean, it's a labor of love. I've been doing this for over a decade now. You guys know the Maxwell Award. You guys did some great coverage with that about a week ago. Today, we'll talk some Bednarik for Defensive Player of the Year. But we're sort of fortunate, Scotty. We get to cover this sport from high school right through the NFL. So we have the National High School Player of the Year, both offense and defense. We have the NFL Player of the Year, the Burt Bell Award. We have the College Coach of the Year, the George Munger. And you were kind enough to mention Sean. We'll be talking with Sean getting ready for this season tomorrow. Sean's now in his fifth year of the Freshman of the Year. Last year, it came down to Harold Perkins, who I think we'll talk about today, the outside linebacker from LSU, and Drake May, the quarterback from North Carolina, who eventually went on to win the award.
That's awesome, and he's a badass, no doubt about it. Now, let's talk about some of these kids for the Bednarik, the best defensive player in college football. Certainly, the kid Perkins at LSU is a monster linebacker. What do you think of his game?
Yeah, I mean, he is a classic pass rusher. Scott, I think it's a little early, and this might be, you know, getting ahead of myself a bit, but I think this is Micah Parsons 2.0. He's 6'1", 220. He's a guided missile off the edge. If you watched him last year, this was a five-star kid, so we all expected that he would get there. We just didn't think he'd get there so fast. First half of the season was feeling his way out, getting used to the speed of the game, but by the second half of the season, forget freshman. He was one of the best defensive players in the country. Tough to deal with on blitzes. Tremendous closing speed. I think the best is yet to come. I think he's one of the two or three favorites to win our award this year.
What about our boy Kool-Aid McKinstry down in Tuscaloosa? The junior corner is headed to the NFL for certain.
Yeah, I see a lot of Sauce Gardner there. There are a lot of comparisons here. He's long, he's lean, he's physical, plays with a lot of swagger, confident out on an island. The single best cover corner in the country entering 2023, forced 18 incompletions last year to lead the country. I think when it comes to our award, the only knock, Scott, for me is I don't think anybody's going to throw his way. And our voters want to see numbers. They want to see big, flashy plays. He's going to need to do some things on special teams. Outstanding punt returner. I think if he can contribute on special teams to go along with his skills as a cover corner, he'll have a legit shot. Here's a number real quick for you. In the last 30 years, we've only had four DBs win the Bednarik Award.
That is crazy. How about this kid? The senior at Texas, Jalen Ford.
Yeah, quiet in 2021, and then he explodes last year. This is what I like. We've been watching film on this kid going back to last fall. When you watch him in action, the way he goes sideline to sideline, as explosive as he is on blitzes, we saw it against Alabama in September last year, you'd figure he's about 6'1", 220. Maybe he's safety side, but this kid's is 6'3", 243. We talked to Sark in the summer to get a feel for his expectations. He said he's got the highest IQ, football IQ, of any player on the team, offense or defense. So he's got size, he's got speed, explosiveness. Came back this year, Scott, to improve his draft status, and I think he's got a shot to be a late first rounder in 2024.
Hold on a second, Rich. Carver High, I'm 6'4", 230. I'm 10 pounds shy of this kid. I'm ready to light somebody up over here at Carver High. Jared Verse from Florida State. While they're not worrying about playing in the ACC, they got a hell of a edge rusher themselves in the junior.
Shocked he came back. You know, I thought it was going to be one and done. I love the stories in college football. I think you do as well. This is a kid who was a tight end in high school, had no offers going to the college route, had to begin his career as a Great Dane at the University of Albany, spends a couple of seasons there, uses the transfer portal to his advantage, winds up in Tallahassee. And I remember last summer being on air here and saying, yeah, the kid looked great in the FCS, but not sure if he's going to be ready to do it at the Power 5 level. 17 tackles for loss, 9 sacks last year. He is the defensive face of the resurgence of Florida State. Jordan Travis obviously being the offensive face, but he's got a shot to play his way into the first round of next year's draft. Love this kid. Love the hands on this kid.
And this defense in Clemson, as always, tough. Jeremiah Trotter, the junior, another linebacker who's a badass.
Yeah, Tommy Eichenberg at Ohio State, I think, is the best run defender. Kool-Aid, we already talked about. I think he's the best cover corner in the country. But if you're looking for most complete linebacker, it's Jeremiah Trotter. We know his dad played a lot of years with the Eagles, 4-time All-Pro. And this is a chip off the old block. He does everything. Great instincts, great motor, very smart. Tackles well in space and can cover as well. Today's linebacker obviously has got to do more than run defend. Jeremiah Trotter does that. Here's the only disadvantage for Trotter when it comes to our Bednarik Award. Clemson is one of only two schools with 3 kids on this year's watch list, Penn State being the other one. So he's going to get competition from, you know, Barrett Carter at linebacker, Tyler Davis at defensive tackle, even Andrew Makuba at safety. So Clemson loaded on defense again this year.
And Eichenberg's a ball eater. This guy's in on every play.
Yeah, he is an outstanding run defender. I think he's it's a bit of some old school Ohio State linebacker. I remember back in the day, Big Cat Andy Katzenmoyer and Tom Cousineau, Chris Spielman. He's got a lot of the fire of those old school Ohio State linebackers, but he's more athletic. I love the passion that he plays with. And year two with Jim Knowles as the defensive coordinator at Ohio State, if the Buckeyes are going to contend for more than a Big Ten title, get back, beat Michigan, get back on top of the Big Ten, they're going to need more out of that defense, and it all begins with Tommy Eichenberg.
How about the kid Bullock at the back end for USC, the safety? He can get it on, too.
Yeah, 6'3", 190, Scott. He plays safety, but to be honest with you, this is a cornerback and a safety body, and I think he's only getting better. Just two seasons in, he's going to fill out. He's going to continue to be better as a run defender. 7 picks in the first two seasons, 5 last year. Just an out-and-out playmaker, and you know about that USC defense. I mean, they were a disaster throughout last season, especially down the stretch, Utah in the Pac-12 title game. So they need more from the defense. Alex Grinch has got to get more from those defenders. Nobody better on that defense than Kalen Bullock.
Respectfully, 30 seconds, the anchor of that Michigan D is that tackle, the senior Jenkins.
Yeah, you know, it's just like Trotter, right? His dad also played in the NFL, Panthers, Jets, 4-time All-Pro. Chris Jenkins came back with one thing on his mind: be the most disruptive defensive tackle in the country. I think he's got a shot to do it. His nickname, by the way, Scott, you got to love it. It's the Mutant. If you're going to be a defensive player in the Big Ten, you want to be known as the Mutant, and that is Chris Jenkins.
Listen, Rich Sermonello, VP at the Maxwell Football Club. I love what you guys do with high school football as well. People forget that that's where it all starts. It's incredible across the country. Great job by you. It's good having you on the show today, Rich. All the best. Enjoy the season.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The brighter the lights, the bigger the stakes. Hunt or be hunted. Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
And no run first inning Fridays. How do you get the offer? 3 steps, opt into the promotion. Place a no run first inning bet on any MLB game. Bet no on the will there be a run in the first inning market. If your bet loses but only one run is scored during the first inning, you're going to get a bonus bet back equaling your stake up to $50. Not bad. The bonus bet will be reflected once the wager is settled. Available only on Fridays. Make sure you read the full terms and conditions of this promotion before participating at BetMGM.com. Davis Maddock joins us from Fantasy Sports Today. You can catch him at 8 a.m. on Saturdays with Scoop Mish, but every day, more importantly, here on C2C Talking Baseball. All right, I have to start with the Wander Franco story with you. This is not good. I mean, they put him on the restricted list, which is essentially, at some level, you're not allowed to play, and I think they stop paying you, or he's one step away from that, at the very least. And I know that there are all kinds of strange stories going around that he's been involved with some 14-year-old, allegedly. I mean, what is going on there? That's end-of-the-road type trouble.
Yeah, I mean, look, the details are still coming out. I think a lot of the major, you know, the primary Major League Baseball writers, so the guys, you know, with the national websites and newspapers and stuff, they are not wanting to touch anything quite yet, obviously, other than reporting that Wander Franco is on the restricted list, not with the team. What I will say is the evidence that I've seen is pretty indicting. It does not seem good for Wander Franco. And I don't, star athlete or not, one, this behavior like really can't get a pass regardless of what the motivations were for this finally coming to light. Cause obviously I don't think it's an accident that we are finding out about this information now, but it's pretty immaterial, right? Because if the evidence suggests that Wander Franco was hanging out, you know, dating a 14-year-old girl, like, that's the end of the line, buddy. That is jail time. That is, you know, I mean, whatever. That is going to be a huge financial penalty. He, I assume, will not be playing baseball. It really would not surprise me, depending on how fast the legal system goes. And, you know, sometimes the legal system in the United States takes a while to get where it's eventually going. We see this all the time in the NFL with these guys who get suspended or placed on the commissioner's list, and then they're still playing because the legal issue is still hanging up. But being placed on the restricted list now would indicate to me that both the Rays and Major League Baseball are saying, like, this has got to be handled. We can't be messing around in the intermediary.
So let me get this straight. So there's two different kinds of lists. The restricted list is the one where you're not going to get paid. The one that Trevor Bauer was on for his sexual endeavors, if you will, he was getting paid, but they banned him from baseball, and now he's in Japan. So let me get this straight. Franco's on the restricted list. He's not traveling with the team. He's not going to be with the team until this is cleared up, and he's not getting paid. And this guy signed a deal that could be worth literally $240 million if they pick up his option in the last year of the deal, but $182 million of it is going to him no matter what.
So that is not my reading of it. My reading of it is that teams are not required to pay players. So this is from ESPN. This is from our buddy Jeff Passan earlier today. So teams are not required to pay players who are on the restricted list, but Franco is going to get paid the rest of his salary right now. So right now, while he's on the restricted list, with the information they have, they're paying him. Like, he's getting his game check right now, basically, is what's happening. And now, as it pertains to the extension, as it pertains to what happens next year, 2 years from now, whatever, my guess would be these teams are pretty smart, and the language is always going to be favorable towards the institutions themselves. So my guess would be, my reading of the situation right now is that Wander Franco probably is going to jail and probably is going to be giving up literal millions and millions of dollars as a result of this.
So he is, I agree with you that the moral clauses will protect the house, and he's broken those allegedly, and he's got nothing but problems. Now, the Players Association at some level has to, you know, in some capacity, fight for him. No, I mean, that has to happen. And then I guess my question to you is, it's a tough pill to swallow. Like, I'm going to go defend a guy. I'm going to go fight for a guy for his money, because that's what they do in the players union, even though this guy might be creeping on some teenager, allegedly. That's some sketchy ground to be standing on, uneven. That's like standing on the fault line, if you will, and it's a dangerous place to be. I don't see how that benefits the union in any way. I don't want to be in a union where we're protecting guys that are tapping little kids. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, so I mean, it really comes down to the line of, you know, where, what would I want to have happen to myself if I was in this situation? So, like, for example, there are moral clauses, you know, for like drunk driving and things like that. And for whatever reason, Major League Baseball players throughout history have loved to get arrested for drunk driving. It happens all the time. I mean, we have these, I mean, very sadly, we've had guys who have got, you know, Oscar Tabarez, Yordano Ventura, who, Jesus Fernandez, all these guys who've been involved, you know, in tragic ends as a result of, you know, improper vehicle usage. Like, it's all really sad. And in a lot of these situations, these guys, you know, are going to want their unions to fight for them. Now, I would know more about this if it was the NBA Players Association or NFL Players Association, but my guess would be is they probably will fight for him to some degree. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know how strong-armed the Major League Baseball Players Association is, but if this was an NFL player, I think they probably would. You're right.
So, but you have to admit, like, withstanding the alleged improprieties, okay? So everything that he's being accused of, allegedly this girl, you know, what I'm hearing third, fourth hand, that she allegedly wanted money and he wouldn't give her money, allegedly, so she exposed him. and said that she's been in a relationship with him and et cetera. Now, all that has to be proved, right? All that has to be worked out. But you have to admit, I mean, on the playing field, even though they benched him for not being a good teammate this year, this guy's starting to get a reputation for being a problem, even though his numbers are staggering.
Yeah, I mean, Juana Franco's a really good baseball player, and I mean, what you really don't look forward to is the Rays fans, and I guess, you know, just sort of your baseball fan who wants baseball players to keep playing and doesn't really care about what they do off field, because you know there's going to be that contingent of people out there that's like, oh, you know, allegedly, or this didn't happen, or this is misrepresented, or this girl's making it up, or whatever. Because that's always, I mean, those people were there for Trevor Bauer, right? There were a lot of people who were writing for Trevor Bauer, as at every single turn, Trevor Bauer showed himself to just be a bad person. Like, Trevor Bauer just seems like a jerk, like just not a guy you really want in Major League Baseball. So I mean, look, that could totally play into this case too. Maybe Major League Baseball, maybe the Players Association says, you're on your own, dude. Like, this is we're wiping our hands of this. The charges are too serious. Because, I mean, you know, like, if a baseball player like murdered someone or whatever, you would imagine no one's going to bat for him in that scenario.
All right, what are your plays for tonight on the field? At the very least, this story is absolutely crazy. I see you have four plays here. What are you going with?
All right, I mean, we're taking some dogs tonight. Normally, I normally don't like to do this later in the season when it's so clearly stratified, but we got a couple angles. First one, we are taking the Oakland Athletics because the Cardinals can't be -210 favorites over anyone. That is an operating rule of my life. They are not good enough, even the Athletics, especially with Mikolas on the mound. We are also taking, we talked about this last week, it worked out for us. We took Brady Singer when he took the mound. Now they're up against the Mariners, who are way better right now. The Mariners are playing really good baseball, but Brady Singer just deserves to be priced a little bit better. I mean, the last six starts have been the best six starts of his career, striking more guys out, walking fewer guys. The fastball velocity is up. Feeling pretty good about backing Brady Singer. Same thing I've been saying to you about the Baltimore Orioles for like a month now, but when the Baltimore Orioles are +110 or worse, I'm taking them. Also, our guy, Grayson Rodriguez, last four starts, he's looking like a Major League Baseball pitcher and not a gas can out there. So feel good about backing the Orioles. And then we are also just going to take the Rays tonight against the Giants with Glasnow on the mound. I think it's kind of priced like Glasnow might be a little bit banged up, but he got that pain-killing injection. Seems like he's good to go. So we are going to take the other Rays run line.
Seems like he's fine. He took that shot in his back, an 8-inch needle. He should be good to go tonight. Yeah, I'm not on that play. But I like your thinking. And I like the Singer play. And I think the ace play is dangerous. Baltimore definitely has a shot. The Padres can't get out of their own way. Great stuff. We'll see you again tomorrow. Davis Lee Roth Matic, otherwise known as Doc Holliday, with that stash he was rocking last week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all back on Coast to Coast, good to have you with us now. Here's a guy with real, like, working man's, like, mustache. Famous Seamus McGee of BetMGM. Now, look, my man's got it. Let's get him on there. He's got, like, I mean, that is terrific right there. But, like, when we had Davis Lee Roth Matic rocking the Doc Holliday mustache last week, so this guy pops on the TV with me, like, on, I don't know, Monday or something, and I was, like, a week ago, and I'm, like, I looked, and I was, like, what's happening there? I didn't say anything. I was just looking at him, and I was like, I'm thinking to myself here in my back of my mind. I'm like, is that dude rocking a Doc Holliday? My man had it going all the way down and curled on the ends, and like over the weekend or something, had the whole mustache. Like, I think he was on vacation and came back and he had this Doc Holliday thing going. And then I was like, I looked and I was like, because we were joking with him. And I was like, yeah, that's not a good look on you, bro. You look way better with the rock star hair. Now, I'm right about that. Carver High, can you give me a thumbs up? Am I right about that or am I wrong? Up or down? Can you give me a, that's an up. Now, you look at famous Seamus McGee here. He looks like a baseball manager. Like he could literally go into the dugout tonight with that hat on and a little sunflower seeds, maybe some dip, and no one would know the difference. He looks like, and I got the mustache. I've had the goat for, I don't know, 15 years. But look at famous Seamus, looks fantastic. All right, Seamus, good to see you. I just had to have someone with a mustache back me up on this. You look terrific. How did the book do with the first weekend of the NFL preseason at BetMGM?
Thanks for having me back, Scott. And I'll let my mom know that there were 60 seconds spent on how good my mustache is. I'll let her know that.
It is good.
So, yeah, it was a great weekend. I mean, really good handle. We had a result-wise good weekend. I don't know if you saw that crazy ending in the Chiefs-Saints game, but that ended up being a really good result for us with the Chiefs' money line losing. So, no, great weekend for football, and good to have it back.
I got to tell you, I don't bet these NFL preseason games with my money, but I do throw them out, right? Like, so on the air, I was on Friday, and there were games. Saturday, I was on from 2 to 5, and the Bears game was on, and then the Jets game was on. And I've been, and then yesterday, I hit the Saints laying the 1.5, and I hit Vegas, and these were all on air. I'm just like, that's who I would bet on. That's who I would bet on. That's who I would bet on down the line. But I don't bet on them because of the, the uncertainty of it all. It's like, they're playing with all these guys, let's just call them hacks, that aren't even going to make the team, and you have no concept of what they're trying to accomplish on the field. Is it strange for you to see people betting heavily on these games when they have no idea, frankly, who they're looking at and what they're looking at?
I don't think it's that strange. A lot of it's based off information coming out before the game. Like that Saints Chiefs line moved a ton based off what was coming out before kickoff. I mean, it just comes down to it. People like betting on football, whether they know who is playing in the game or not. It's a great sport to bet on. People have fun watching it. And you know, you could be out watching a game. You see, I mean, Trey Lance was struggling really. He was struggling immensely with the Raiders yesterday. So yeah, it could be a spot where you back him in play. The Raiders, that is. So it's just any football people will bet it NFL wise. I'll say that NFL or college. I can't say the same for XFL or USFL yet, but.
Fair enough. And look, to me, college football starts with a bang. I mean, they just start playing games on the 26th. We're going to have Notre Dame and Navy. I'm going to be on the air for that game 12-4 with Joe Ranieri on In-Game Live. But the games just pop and they count. From the jump, I've always, kind of hesitated about betting on NFL preseason games. Like when the game was over with the Titans, the coach that Vrabel let coach the game, he had an assistant coach the game. Did you see the guy after the game? He goes, yeah, listen, we're not even trying to win these games. Winning and losing is not part of the equation. We absolutely could care less if we lose. We were there to accomplish other things. So winning wasn't one of our objectives. And I'm like driving and I'm like swerving in the road. Like I just can't wrap my head around listening to a guy say, yeah, we don't even want to win. We're just here to work. I'm like, I can't bet on those games, Famous. I just can't do it. I swear to God, it makes me sick. So did the first full weekend of football, help see an increase in futures at BetMGM?
Yeah, just today I was noticing a bunch of big hits coming in through on the Super Bowl market, to be exact. But I mean, yeah, once people see that NFL's on, there's games on the app, on the slate, they're poking around and they're looking to see what they can bet. And certainly seen an uptick in odds to make the playoffs. division winners, you name it. Plenty of markets on our site. And definitely an uptick with the game starting this weekend.
So with the Orioles doing what they're doing, and they were able to save face over the weekend in Seattle, proving again how badass they are, have enough people started jumping on them for the pennant and World Series futures that would end up being a major liability for BetMGM?
They've been a big liability all year, and people are certainly jumping on them now. The Rays are turning into an absolute circus right now. I mean, McClanahan's probably done for the year. Franco, who knows if he's going to play another game this year. So there's certainly – the division looks almost like it's going to be – like they're probably going to win it in the end. And then, I mean, they're a fun team to root for. They're young, and they play a good brand of baseball, and people have just really latched onto it. And they win games.
They sure do. With most of the awards looking almost wrapped up in baseball, have you seen an uptick in the Cy Young betting with everything still undecided there? I mean, it's not clear at all on either side who's getting the Cy Youngs.
Yeah, the NL certainly. I mean, that's a real mess right now because Strider's really fallen off. But I was looking at our NL Cy Young book. It looks pretty decent right now. Not a lot of losers on the book for us. We're honestly hoping, like, right now, it's like Blake Snell's like a really good winner for us. So would be good to see him or Logan Webb take it home. The American League, from the other point of view, Gerrit Cole's gained a lot of steam over the past week and a half. He's down to minus 300 because it may not be like flashy every time he goes out there, but it's consecutive, you know, 6-7 innings, 2 runs or less, high strikeout numbers. He's just been consistent all year, and he's starting to run away with it.
So college football starts next Saturday, the 26th, with Notre Dame taking on Navy in Dublin. Have people started getting involved with that game here at the zero hour? Like already starting to bet the Irish with Sam Hartman, or is there equal money coming in on Navy at all for that game over there?
Still haven't seen a big chunk of money coming in on that game in my homeland, but it's a lot of parlays so far with Notre Dame, just money line parlays. They're getting them out there for the first week zero. But yeah, nothing yet. I imagine next week when you start getting the big promotions up for these games that you'll start seeing the uptick in action, more markets come out, et cetera.
So who's been getting the bets for the Heisman?
J.J. McCarthy right now leads the handle for us. A lot of backers in the state of Michigan. I keep reading a bunch of articles that that pro scouts are liking him. So he's definitely one. Xavier Worthy at like 66-1. He's taken a good chunk of bets to be one of our bigger liabilities. And then obviously, I mean, you have the top three with Daniels, with Caleb Williams and Quinn Ewers all up there for the Heisman. And then the number one liability, of course, is Shedeur Sanders. If Colorado football does anything here, it's gonna be real ugly here at BetMGM.
Are people still betting big on the Women's World Cup? I'm starting to feel like I want to root for the Matildas.
They're fun. I mean, I've stayed interested. I've bet a few games, but we've seen a big decrease in action since the women have been knocked out. So. I mean, we'll see come the semifinals. Maybe there's an uptick there, but I will see. I think the U.S. getting knocked out definitely wasn't great for handle.
So Lucas Glover won on the PGA Tour at the FedEx in Memphis as a long shot for the second week in a row. You had a long shot win. Did you guys clean up in golf?
Not really, not as much as you thought we might have. I mean, there were still some bets coming in on Glover pre-match, but then people got on him.
I think we lost Famous. Unbelievable. In the middle of it all, Famous Sheamus. Can we show the photo of his face the moment that we lost him? It's a terrific look. Can we pop that on there at any level? This is just fantastic. That is just an absolutely incredible look at Famous Sheamus evaporating into thin air. There he is. He's back. Oh, we got the greatest shot of you with your mouth open, stunned that you were cut off. What was the action like in the UFC with the upset on Saturday?
It was a tough card for us. I mean, we had a great result on the main fight, but Cub Swanson was the worst result on the night for us. And then, the undercard was just really harsh on us. So it was just about a break-even night for us on the UFC.
So let me ask you about the Phillies game on Saturday that saw that line go all over the place. And then I think, like, right before the game, it was like Philly plus $1.04, $1.05, something like that. And we were on the air watching it change the line. And, you know, Joe Ranieri was like, they are just screaming at you with a bullhorn to bet the Phillies. And then the Twins beat their ass. How many people bit into that that Phillies plus side the way they've been playing and getting that plus money at home, the way the line moved all day Saturday? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I mean, it was another tricky one with the Phillies yesterday. But, I mean, it's one of those things where it might be people might be sitting there saying, oh, Vegas knows something. We're just listening to sharp bettors that are betting the line with us. We're listening to – we have information from them, and pretty much we want to make sure we're as close to their side as we possibly can. I mean, there's kind of like this, you know, the old saying that we're trying to balance the books. But, you know, if we know that we're going to end up being on the right side here because we've taken action telling us the line's going to settle down here, we'd much rather be on the ladder.
What was that Mets game last night for you guys? That they came back and won that game with that big sixth inning.
Huge result for us. People pounded the Braves last night. We took a couple huge six-figure bets. So the Mets did us a favor after not doing us nearly any favors over the weekend before that.
All right, great stuff. Famous Seamus, looking dapper. Got the great mustache. Looks like a baseball manager. Got cut off in midstream with a giant O mouth. We got him back live to finish strong. Carver High's proud of you. Good stuff, Famous.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another exciting edition of Today in Carver High History.
It certainly is. We'll start in 1964 today. LA Angels pitcher Bo Belinsky is suspended after a hotel room fight with elderly LA Times sports writer Braven Dyer. That's how they used to take care of business when they didn't like what you wrote about you, Scotty, in the 60s. Bring him to the hotel room and clean him out. 73, Johnny Unitas files a $725,000 lawsuit against the Baltimore Colts. 77, Lanny Watkins wins his only major title, PGA Championship, in a sudden-death playoff. We had one of those yesterday. 1988, Jeff Sluman wins his only major title. He won the PGA over Ainsinger, 88. 94, Nick Price wins his second PGA Championship. 2011, Keegan Bradley, the pride of the New England area, wins the PGA Championship by one stroke over Jason Duffner in a three-hole aggregate playoff. 2016, Andy Murray wins the men's tennis gold in Rio over Juan Martín Del Potro, a Scotty favorite. 2016, Usain Bolt wins the 100-meter gold in Rio. 2016, Justin Rose wins the inaugural men's gold medal in golf. He beat Henrik Stenson and Matt Kuchar 16 under par. And in 2021, Diamondbacks pitcher Tyler Gilbert, who throws a no-hitter against the Padres. Here we go.
Center field, Marte.
Yeah!
It's a no-hitter. Tyler Gilbert has thrown a no-hitter in his first career major league start. The first Diamondbacks pitcher ever to throw a no-no in this ballpark, and just the third in their history. Pham had walked three times, their only base runner all night long.
I mean, come on. I mean, this stuff just
cannot
happen.
2 years ago, and we've already forgotten. about Tyler Gilbert and the night that he had for the Diamondbacks. Amazing.
No one knows who that is. No one.
Nobody. Nobody.